everybody. Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode 424, the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, doors, hat, and whatever else comes across our minds. I am your host, Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox, and with me this week is your friend and mine, the door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin. Hey, Steve, how's life treating you?
If you're not going to ask any other if you're not going to ask any other questions, it's going great.
Yeah, good. No need to follow up farther than that. So Eric is not doing great. He's a bit under the weather, as opposed to over the weather, which means you're flying, I guess. So he's not going to be with us tonight. So last week, Door did a yeoman's job handling it all by himself. They say when you talk to yourself, you're a madman, but if you put a mic in front of your face, it's good. So he did a great job. Thank you for covering for me in my absence. I was unfortunately detained last week, but I'm glad to be back with you.
Oh, trust me when I say this. I'm really, really glad you're back. Eric literally dragged himself yesterday to record an episode of the Mini PC show. And when the episode was done, I literally said to him as nice as possible, "Eric, you look like complete crap." And he literally didn't know what to say. And I said, maybe you need to rest. And when I heard from him today, he didn't sound any better. So he's resting up, means next week he's going to come back with so many apps. We're not going to be able to withstand it.
He's home convalescing with literally nothing better to do than to cull apps for our audience here. You know, I work in the medical field, and I'm often out at doctor's offices. And this is the month of February and March has just been sick people palooza everywhere I go. My own household, we've had kids sick, and it just, man, that transition from summer to winter to spring apparently is hard on the old upper respiratory system.
Yeah, I say to my wife, I haven't been sick at all. Everybody I know at work has missed time. She like hacked up a lung at least once. And the kids were just a little bit sick. And she said, "I don't understand why that is." And I looked at her, I said, "Excuse me, strong like bull. They come from good stock. That's why they're not sick." And then of course, like 2 days ago, the young one literally was in the middle of talking, turned his head, puked, and then turned his head back and just kept coughing like nothing was bothering him. So he definitely caught something.
I'm not a medical expert in any way, but several years ago, I started taking fairly large doses of vitamin D, and I can tell you that I have not been sick. I'm not going to say I've not been sick at all since then, but like maybe twice in 5 years. So it's anecdotal evidence says that it works for me anyway.
Exactly. Can I ask how many OUs are you taking and what kind of vitamin D is it?
I take 5,000 IUs of D3 a day.
Exactly. That's exactly what I take. And I take it, I don't know if you, why you take it. I take it because I was reminded, I'll put it that way. Steve Gibson, I don't even know how many years ago, did the vitamin D episode. And what I forgot was, when I was young, we had vitamin D milk at the house. No 2%, 1% or skim. It was always vitamin D. And I know for a fact, for over a decade, I drank nearly a gallon of milk a day myself, which meant I was probably close to ODing on vitamin D. But I also remember that whole time, never having a cold, a flu, anything, never being sick. So since then, I've been popping the liquid vitamin D3 5000 OU, and I haven't really been sick. I've had a sniffle here or there, or a stuffy nose just a little bit, but never actually sick, and I'm really thankful.
Yeah, I don't know that the one is related to the other, but it's cheap. It's known to not hurt. So, you know, go to Walmart, throw some in your cart, see if it helps.
Yeah.
All right. We have a bevy of emails because I wasn't here to read any of them last week. But before we do any of that, let's start strong with an app, Dor. What do you got for us?
Okay. First app I'm going to bring has to me a very familiar name. It's called the Kiss Launcher. And of course, when I hear Kiss, I'm reminded of my my old boss, a.k.a. now my father-in-law, when he was explaining to me the Kiss effect. He used, because he was a Marine, much different, stronger words than I'm going to use. KISS stands for Keep It Short and Simple. And it's the KISS Launcher. And I can assure you right now, this is the ultra simplified, simplistic launcher. It's essentially nothing more than an app drawer that you can basically type in and search. And when you type in and search, you are searching contacts, apps, and I believe some actions as well. So if you have especially an older device or you really need a very simplified interface, I really do suggest taking a look at this one.
So your homepage is just a search bar?
Basically, yes, a search bar with, I believe, 5 icons at the bottom that you can customize. 4 icons. 5 icons. Well, but of course, one of them is the home button. Yeah, it's just short, simple, to the point, effective, light, easy. If you're the kind of person where choice is very hard and you don't like having too much choice in your life, this might be perfect for you.
Yeah. Looking at the screenshot, it looks like maybe it shows the last 5 or 6 things that you've looked at. So it looks like maybe there's some things, you know, before you search, there are a few things available to you. Okay. I don't really have any comment on that.
Yeah, it's just a short, simple app. It's by Neamar, N-E-A-M-A-R, E for everyone, completely F as in free with no in-app purchases. Again, it's Kiss Launcher.
All right. So let me jump into a little bit of email, starting with Soham Bapat, who says that I mischaracterized an app that he brought. Actually, I think, Eric brought it on his behalf, the Disco Mark app. He says, "Hey guys, love the show, but I think Mark slightly missed the point of Disco Mark. It's not meant to be a traditional benchmarking app like AnTuTu, but it's used to check real-world performance. Other than comparing speeds of 2 new flagship phones, there are other uses of this app. For example, there were numerous articles on how Facebook affects your device performance. Someone could have run a test to check how long a certain cycle of apps took with Facebook and without. Unfortunately, I saw this app long after the whole incident had blown over. Otherwise, I would have done it. Another use could be battery testing. You could actually take advantage of the bug that Eric and I faced by performing an endless cycle of launching apps to see real-world battery life. Playing a movie or YouTube video, as most sites do, doesn't really reflect the real battery life of a phone. For my app recommendation, I'd recommend Pedometer and Weight Loss Coach as a simple step counter. I was using Google Fit until it really started draining my battery. This neat little app also syncs your calories with steps with MyFitnessPal, if you're into that. Keep up the great work, Soham."
Yeah, I understand what he's saying, and I understand how he says it, why he says it. When it comes to those kind of apps, I do think there's, dare I say, voodoo involved.
Yeah, my comment still stands. I'm just not into performance testing in general. It's just not my thing. If it's your thing, fine. It's just I wouldn't waste my time on testing, you know, with this app or without this app. Just not my life.
Yeah, my test is my psyche. Do I want to throw my phone? No, well, then it's going pretty good. And the only comment I want to make really quick about devices in general is I'm still shocked when I hear someone talk about a brand new device and how when it's updating apps in the background, there's a noticeable delay, lag, slowdown, or whatever. I have, again, I'll say a 2-year-old device, and I can update 20 apps back to back to back to back to back to back. I can be out using the camera. I can be in the middle of sending a Voxer. I can be doing anything I want, and I'm not experiencing any slowdown. So if you are experiencing slowdown while your apps are updating, I highly encourage you look into a new device, period.
My only performance issues are stupid web pages that I can't scroll through. And that seems to be with any browser, Chrome, Firefox, whatever. I think that's just the state of the mobile web, as in it sucks.
Well, that, and I believe it's fully determined upon your own individual browsing habits, what pages that you go to. Because I really don't see that too much whatsoever. I'm sure it happens, but I guess I'm really lucky. 99% of my browsing is literally going to one page, looking at the page and then closing it. So maybe I'm lucky.
Well, it's just sites like Engadget and whatever that are just terrible mobile experiences in general.
Yeah,
but I did want to comment on his Pedometer and Weight Loss Coach. I didn't want to just blow past that. I put the link in the chat room. It's you know, as the thing says, there's a ton of apps that do that sort of thing. MyFitnessPal, Google Fit. I personally use one called Lose It. But if you want to track your steps, phones are not great for tracking steps in my experience. Maybe your mileage varies, but I've never had really accurate results from a phone in my pocket or anything. But you know, the way I look at it, it's not about accuracy. It's about consistently. If it's consistently wrong, but it's always the same amount of wrong,
right,
that's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. The only reason that I'm a little hesitant about this is I personally despise the idea of using my battery on my phone for anything else than what I already used it for. So if I wanted to track this, I would literally try to get $25, $35, $45 wrist device, because I do believe a dedicated device would be more consistent. What the hell? I'm thinking, if that made any sense to anyone, I'm thinking that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
What I found is my Moto 360 on my wrist and my phone in my pocket, Google Fit and actually lots of other apps will average those two together. And that seems to be pretty good. Interesting. I was on a plane recently. And so we hit some turbulence, and in the process of, you know, flying through the turbulence, we were bouncing up and down at what one might consider a running pace, but at 500 miles an hour. So my watch tracked going up and down and forward motion and said I took something like 700,000 steps that day.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was the highest day on my graph by far.
Yeah, nice.
All right, Dor, what's your next app?
Okay, I'm going to bring this game, and this might be the only game for the show. I'm not really sure. Once I saw this app, this game, I was immediately drawn towards it pretty strongly because I remember the old Micro Machines game on NES. This is a top-down racer. There are unique power-ups you can get. They're not often. They're not everywhere. You basically pick them up. But the graphics on this, to me, is like if you took that same engine for the old Micro Machines and you literally jacked it up to a much more modern standard. Just a simple, fun racing game. The only thing I didn't like about it is there is no gas. You basically just turn. So you're always full throttle, essentially.
And the other problem is there's a video, so we know it can't be any good.
Well, it was still a little fun. I mean, you know, there's a lot of drifting, I'll say, that happens. The better you can drift, the better I think you'll do in this game. And I forgot to mention the name. I'm sorry. It's Versus Racing 2, VS period Racing and the number 2 by North Cube AB. A for everyone, completely free. Does have some in-app purchases. And I'll say this when I got the opportunity. The number one thing I do with every single game, regardless of manufacturer, quality, experience, or anything else, first thing I do when I quit any game is I literally load my app drawer again. I click and hold the icon. I drag it up to app info, and then I force quit every single game I have, because every single game seems to always want to run in the background and once in a while say, hey, you know, I'm a pretty fun game. You don't want to forget about me.
Your new emeralds are ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. This a tilt to steer or a tap to steer?
The two options I know they had was a tilt to steer, and then they had basically two buttons, left, right. Which, when you're going upside down, left, right can be a little bit confusing.
Because right is left and left is right?
Yes, but once you get into like the flow, I don't think it's a problem. I am not a big fan of tilt to steer, just because I feel like it's less accurate, even though it's probably more accurate. So I as soon as I saw it had the option to turn that off, I went the other way. So it actually might have been better experience with tilt, but I wouldn't know.
I've never been a fan of that type of gameplay. Like you, I'd rather tap.
And it makes it more compatible with my GPD-XD gaming Game Boy-esque device-y right. Thingy.
Just like to apologize for the hiss that you're hearing right now. My wife has chosen this very moment to run the washing machine upstairs, and so the water's running through the pipes above me in the basement. So that's what that is. Oh, and then I mentioned it goes away. Call it out, and it goes away. So our next email is from Chris Consetti. He says, hey, gang, what's up? I'm writing to let you know about a new app in the Play Store. It's called My Decision Wheel. It's a wheel spinner that can be used to select one of 8 items. It's handy if your lunch group can't decide where to go eat, or if they want to see a movie or go bowling, etc. Just spin the wheel and let it decide. The app offers 4 categories with 8 selections per category. Categories and selections can be edited by the user. It's completely free, no ads, no special permissions required. This app was written by a friend who retired and was looking for something to do. This is his first published app. There are other decision wheel apps out there, but the ones that I've tried had quirks or just didn't offer the features of this one. Anyway, if your listeners could download the app and give it a try, I know it would be a huge boost to my friend's ego. I may possibly get him thinking about more apps. Thanks for taking the time to read this. So I did download that and tried it out. And after church, my group of friends got together. I had loaded up 8 of the most common restaurants we go to because it's always, where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? So I hit the button and it picked a restaurant and I said, let's go there. And somebody said, no, I don't want to go there. So it didn't help any at all. But the app is cool. It's kind of a Wheel of Fortune thing.
Right. I don't have that particular email open, Mark, and that is called My Decision Wheel, I believe, by Paul J. James. E for everyone, completely free, no in-app purchases. And I will say, whenever I say Paul J. James, first thing that comes to mind is J. Jonah Jameson at the Daily Planet.
Great Caesar's Ghost.
Great Caesar's Ghost, exactly. And I'm really worried that this listener has the ability to turn the mic on my phone and listen to what I'm saying, because I've said for weeks to this, to my friends downstairs, stop saying you don't know where you're going to go to lunch. And I literally brought them down a CD that I didn't care about anymore. I hung it on their coat rack right there, and I drew partitions on it, and I wrote the popular places that they go. I said, here, next time you don't know, just spin the friggin' wheel. Just spin it. And then literally a day after I made that was when this email came in. So I was a little slightly concerned. And then I showed it to them. All three of them basically just cackled out laughing, thinking it was hysterical. And then, of course, the next day when I went down, they said, where do you want to go to lunch?
Spin the wheel.
I said, you're asking me? They said, yeah. I said, well, why don't you spin the wheel? Spin what wheel? Don't say that, guys. It's the app I sent you. What? So, yeah. They don't listen.
So the graphics are very simplistic, but it's fits the motif for what you're doing. You don't need anything fancy. It's a wheel with 8 wedges, a la Trivial Pursuit, and you spin it, and it picks a wedge for you. Really great. I like the fact that you can customize things, add your own categories, rename categories. Nice work, Paul J. James Great Scott.
Jameson.
Yes. Caesar's Ghost. All right, sorry. Great Scott was Perry White.
Right, or Doc Brown.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I literally have this on my phone now permanently, full-time, because we do go through the same thing when my dad comes up to visit the kids for a day, and then he doesn't like food. He's more pickier than I am, so we always have to go out to eat. And then he says, well, where do you want to go? What would you like, since you're the one who's going to be paying for this? Anywhere that makes the kids happy. No. Worst thing you can say. Because they'll say McDonald's or something.
Right. Yeah. I've taken totally the opposite approach to that. Kids don't get a vote. Yeah. Because all they're going to say is McDonald's or Taco Bell.
Well, my wife said, okay, you guys can have a vote, but the mom vote is equal to 3 votes, and the dad vote is equal to 2 votes, which I don't know why my votes are worth less.
Yeah. The way I say it around my house is mom gets 2 votes, each kid gets 1 vote, dad gets 10 votes.
Good
that's,
man.
That's the democracy of my household. So I can see that you're struggling to get an app up, get something going there. So before I ask for a new app, I will say thank you to Sasha Neubauer, who recently pledged to our Patreon. You are awesomeness incarnate, Sasha. Thank you for that.
Very cool. Very cool. Yes. And that was really the main reason why I did this show last week by myself. Any other week, I would have just said, well, Mark has things happening in his house. Eric is sick as a dog. I'm going to sit up with the wife and watch something I really can't stand watching. But because of the Patreon, I suddenly got a sense of consciousness. And I said, well, these people are literally paying for stuff. I have to put something out. You know, so I did. And hopefully it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. There is something to that. I know on my other podcast, we have recently lost our sponsors, as you know, it's seasonal, they come and go. But each week, you know, we're driven to do something because there's people who are paying for it. And literally, they put their hard-earned money up to view the content. We take that seriously. What used to be a contract keeping us doing it now, it's you. And you know, that would be great. I know Dore, and I know him well. If he could quit his day job and do nothing but podcast because you, the listeners, made that possible, that would make him a very happy man.
And unfortunately, I'd probably come out with about 20 podcasts a week.
Just all podcasts all the time.
Yeah. No, this hour, we're going to do a podcast on WordPress and CMSs. Next hour, we're going to do on why in the hell does Microsoft releasing a version of Debian Linux, and why are they releasing SQL Server on Windows? That right there is like a 5-hour session.
Yeah, that we need to talk about that sometime, but not on this show. This show is about Android apps. So, Dor, what else have you got for us?
Okay, this next app, I'm not going to lie, I hate saying that, made me stop and think and look and read it. Most of these apps that I see, I literally just gloss over, glance at, because they're not interesting. They're not in-depth. They're not detailed. And to be quite honest, a lot of the apps don't require a lot of work, it looks like, to actually make it. This one definitely seems like there's a little bit more stuff going on. This is called Fabric. This lets you do some real-time monitoring of your individual apps. This, to me, was definitely one of those hardcore nerd things that if you really want to know what kind of stuff is going on right now with an app on the Play Store, you can check this out, and it will tell you how many crashes are kind of happening. Also, full stack traces, number of affected users. I got the impression this was actually just for app developers, but I'm not really sure about that. I did download it, but I didn't have a whole lot of time to play with it, to be honest. I just basically had time to launch it once. So this might actually be only for app developers. And to me, this harkens back where if you have an app developer that is responsive, they're probably using this kind of thing. And if they're not, they're probably not. So especially like that new developer who just did my decision wheel, he's the kind of guy who might be able to use this app. And the one thing that really confused me about it, it's called Fabric. It's by Twitter Inc., top developer. It's by Twitter. It's not by, you know, some other companies. It's by Twitter itself. So at first I thought it was just a analytic engine for your tweets. And then when I started to look at it, I said, no, this has nothing to do with tweets. So one of those curveball things. It's one of those like extra activities where Microsoft is doing Android apps. Netflix is releasing coding, basically, frameworks. Facebook is releasing everything they buy, apparently, and networking hardware, back-end configuration tools. And now Twitter's releasing analytical engines for app developers. It's a crazy time we live in, Mark.
Well, you know, I guess Twitter has had lots of experience with benchmark testing. And, you know, they were intimately acquainted with the fail whale early on. So It makes sense that they'd be able to just drop some of this out there. What I question is what they're getting out of it. I mean, what's their VIG on this? Why would they do this?
Well, you know, it's not for a backup stream of income. I don't know, but I do know, like you said, yeah, they had a lot of experience with that fail whale. But I don't know about you, but I haven't seen that fail whale literally now that I think about it in years, maybe.
Right. They got it right. That's what I say. They know about scaling and performance monitoring because they finally got it right. It just seems like an odd bedfellow. But if this is something you need, it looks useful.
Yeah, maybe it was just one of the guys who worked there, developed it, and basically turned to their company and said, do you want it?
20% time thing.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to bet.
All right. One other email now from our friend Julian Overall. He says, hi, a quick email on the an open source app I've been using for the past few weeks. It's a dead simple shopping list app called Trolley. No fancy frills or nonsense to it. I found it on F-Droid, but it's also in the Play Store. By the way, do you guys use F-Droid at all? Any thoughts on it? Other widely used apps are available there, such as AntennaPod and OpenStreetMaps. Take it easy, fellas.
I really thought it was called Trolley, which immediately I wanted to go download and install the app because it's called Trolley. But then I looked at it closer. Yeah, it's called Trolley. I'm going to let you first answer the F-Droid question, Mark.
Well, first I know all, nothing about F-Droid.
Okay, well, I can tell you what it's supposed to be. Google Play, a system, tightly controlled apps. They can basically dig into your phone. They can remove apps if they want. They're the big behemoth company that are controlling the app flow onto your device. F-Droid is supposed to be an open and free floss market. I believe you do have to be GPL software to even be in that market space. So you have to go to F-Droid. You have to install the F-Droid store. Then you have basically your own market. You can update from, download from, install from. This was also, I believe, the same organization working on the completely open version of Android itself as well. I have literally now grown to have very mixed emotions about these kind of things. And I think I might shock some people with what I'm going to say. And what I'm going to say is, The fewer places you have installed on your device that has the access and abilities that these apps have, the safer you are, period. Because we don't know when places, sites, certificates, or software is going to get compromised. Google does not have the ability to control when an individual application gets compromised. Google really doesn't have even the ability to control when an HTTP cert on their server might get compromised. The difference being, they are much more ready to be aware of when it happens, and they're much more able to control what to do when that does happen. So, when it comes to a site like F-Droid, I literally, most I ever do, I install F-Droid, I install the app, then I uninstall F-Droid. Because I have no idea about how their security infrastructure is. I have no idea how deep of the staff they have that's working on this is. I have no idea what kind of security things that they've passed. For all I know, they don't even have the ability or the funds to hire an outside agency to do penetration testing or vulnerability testing on their site or their service. So, in short, I don't trust it, which is a shame because it's put there to be the quote-unquote trustworthy marketplace.
Well, one of the things that I'm looking at now, and I'm not calling out Trolley particularly, it may be a fine piece of software, but there's no information about it at all. Even on the Google Play Store, the only description is a simple and fast shopping list application. And then it gives a link to a website. We go to the website and it says a simple shopping list application with no annoying extra features. But there's nothing there. And I think that's endemic to the open source mindset. They expect me to go download the source code and look at it, or to go look at some wiki to fully understand it. And that's fine for a small subset, but the average Android user has neither the sophistication nor the desire to do that. And so, as you said, Dor, these alternative app stores are potentially dangerous in the hands of the unknowing public. So for a sophisticated user who is going to take responsibility for his own stuff, it's fine. You get what you pay for. It's essentially sideloading, but it's sideloading a store rather than sideloading an app. But I would never recommend this to, you know, grandma, that she do this. I just think it's a terrible idea.
I'm going to be a little bit meaner and say I'm never going to suggest this app to anybody, simply because when you click to go to their website, they don't even have a website. They're using a sites.google.com free website. And if you scroll all the way down, they have an invalid image link. Okay. Websites are unbelievably cheap. Dare I say, if you have any resources among you, you can even get a .tk domain for free, completely for free, at no cost. And these people either don't have the, and I'm going to say this in the nicest way possible, the mental capability to own, manage, operate a website. They don't have the desire to be responsible enough to have a website, or they literally just don't care. No matter which one of those things are right or something else is right, it to me is indicative of lack of dedication to be taken seriously as an app. The last time I called out somebody for not having a real website, I was really mean to them, and then they contacted me. I ended up giving them money. Here's X amount of money that can cover you for a website for a year. Now get away from me. Go get a website. So
it's like $50 a year, really. That's what it costs to run a whole, you know, website domain and everything.
Well, if you want, you can technically do it for free. All you need to do is go get a .t is a .t .tk domain for free. Redirect it. You go get a Dropbox account for free. You enable the web view for free. You go get the domain name for free. You then point the domain name to the Dropbox for free. And everyone who's looking at your site believes you have a full site. It's completely free to have at least somewhat an appearance of credibility. Now, if you really want to be credible, like you said, $50 a year. If you can't afford $50 a year, maybe you shouldn't be sitting down creating Android apps. Maybe you should get a better job. I'm just saying.
I'm not going to be that harsh. The fact that it's on Google Sites doesn't bother me all that much. It's just this is a hacker's app, Clearly, because there's a user manual with it. You know, if there's an app with a downloadable user's manual on the web, it's clearly not meant for the average person. And if you're not the average person, great. But just understand what you're getting into.
Right. And, well, I also don't trust when I answer my door and the guy is offering to sell me steaks.
Don't ever do that. My wife did that once. Worst steaks ever.
Well, I mean, that's what, to me, this feels like. It's somebody not taking their stuff seriously. They don't have a storefront. Instead, they come to my door trolling for money. That's what this feels like. He doesn't have a real website. A lot of people look for publicity in multiple different ways. So they load it on both F-Droid and on Google Play. The real diehard F-Droiders, the ones who really take their job seriously of doing F-Droid apps, Floss apps, GPL apps, they don't even put this stuff on Google Play. Granted, we might never hear about those apps, but at least they have, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, like Richard S. Stallman, passion, dedication, vitriol, something, I don't know what the word is. Follow through, forthright, analyticity, I don't know, something.
I have to correct you, it's Richard M. Stallman.
Oh, see?
Because the pedantic net was just about to break your door down.
Oh, they can, and I'll just laugh at them.
All right, well, now that we're finished dumping on and beating up the trolley app.
Well, I know, but thank you, Julian, seriously. The best reason for me to download this app is to go then check out the source code and see how I can create an app. So it does have a use case.
All right, so what is your next app for us?
Okay, this one is another one. It just caught my attention because it has a certain, you know, popular word in it. And why does my Synergy keep doing that? I know you were having Synergy problems too, Mark.
Yes.
But I thought I resolved it, and I did at least halfway. But then for some reason, it just wants to once in a while act stupid goofy. And the quickest solution is to quit it. Oh, there you go. My Synergy crashed on the other computer. How convenient. So let me just pull up a quick terminal because I'm like that. And I should be back up. There you go. Okay. Because it has the word Wolfram in it. Wolfram Alpha.
Nice.
This is called Wolfram Cloud, Wolfram Group. This is a preliminary release that is a touch-based interface with the Wolfram Alpha. Man, I can't say that right. Information. Wolfram Alpha is supposed to be a programmatically accessible advanced computing engine that can also do some search functions, but it's really a computing engine where you can push at it really complex math problems, really hard statistical formulas, and it will kick it right back with a lot of useful information. It also does some very interesting linking between bits of information. Like you can go to a information about a state park that will take you to information about a rare snake that will take you to another link about a man in South America 200 years ago that discovered anti-venom. You know, it's that kind of deep linking engine where you can go for a story when you're browsing Wolfram Alpha. And I cannot believe I've actually said that name successfully more than once.
My favorite part about Wolfram Alpha is now no longer free. It's a paid thing. It was great. It was a great elementary math homework aid in that you could put in 3/4 × 1/8 in fraction format, and it would show you the steps to solve the problem. So it was a great way when a kid's struggling with something like that, you could not only just see the answer. I mean, any calculator can give you the answer, but it would show you the steps. And now they no longer offer that for free. You have to pay for it, which is, you know, as a parent, it made me sad because it was a great tool. So now I'm mad at you, Mr. Wolfram. I can't remember your first name, but you're an evil person now.
Yeah, it's what plants crave. I never really understood what the original purpose of Wolfram Alpha was, but I do know that supposedly the guy who was behind it was one of those, Wile E. Coyote super genius card holders.
Yeah, he invented the programming language Mathematica.
Something else I don't understand at all.
I'm looking for his name right now. His name is actually Wolfram. I can't remember his first name. If only there were some place where you could search out these sort of things.
Yeah, that Stephen Wolfram. Wolfram.
There we go.
Yeah. Now, here's a stupid question. Have you noticed how ridiculous now Google has gotten to giving you the answer before it gives you the links?
Yes, just right there in the search suggestions.
Yeah, because like what I did today, because I've never done it before, I literally Google searched on my phone how to install mods on Minecraft. And it literally gave me the step-by-step-by-step how to do it, but they were for Windows. So then at the end, I put Ubuntu, and then it told me how to install Minecraft mods on Ubuntu 14.04 right there, the steps to it. And now when I type in Wolfram Alpha Creator, voila, Stephen Wolfram is the creator of Mathematica and Wolfram Alpha.
He's a physicist, a mathematician, a computer guy, just all-around brilliant guy. And this thing, it's been around for 7-8 years now, and it's still an alpha. I don't know what he expects it to be, but it's pretty darn good for an alpha.
Maybe a omega?
Like, for example, you can put in two countries, just two the names of two countries. And it will give you all kinds of data about those two countries. Great. Again, coming from my background in education, it's an excellent educational tool.
Yeah. Now, I need to stop bringing my mouse over to this other computer, Mark.
I'll stop it. I'm sorry.
This is the kind of stuff that literally drives me cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Okay. I'm going to stop doing that because I'm going.
Right, I am out of emails, so take it away. Empty the tank.
Okay, this app is in direct competition. I believe we did bring the app a couple weeks ago called Chromer, Chromer, which is basically, it's like taking the Chrome browser on your phone, stripping it down to just the core, always running in the background, and allowing you to load pages either on the side or hopefully quicker is the real goal of it. This one's a little bit different. It is called Anticipate, and something just go boom on the other computer again. Yeah, this is called Anticipate. What it can do is it can basically browse all of the links in a currently open web page, and it can start to download them in the background, kind of thing. I have very, very mixed emotions about that because that means you're using up extra bandwidth, and that's not always a good thing.
Says Mr. I totally rape the phone company every month on my unlimited plan.
Well, that's me. I mean, you know, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with just blindly using data for no reason. That's really the to me, like the bottom line to it. I like using data for using data purposes. This could lead to a much better experience, or this could lead to people using much more data than they plan on using.
So it's basically pre-caching a web page, which browsers used to do early on, and then they stopped doing it because I'm talking desktop browsers. It was a common feature in Firefox and I think early versions of Chrome, if I remember correctly, but it ended up being, as bandwidth got better, it was just kind of not really useful anymore. So, but in many ways, our phones today are like our desktop computers of 10 years ago. So the good idea is coming back, if it think it's a good idea, I guess.
Well, I mean, if you're home on Wi-Fi, maybe, you know what I mean? But my logic is, I mean, how many links when you open a web page do you actually click? And unfortunately, we now have web pages that I'm sure have well over 100 links.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where back in the day, you know, you might have went to a web page and at the most might have had 20 or 30 or 40. So that does make me a little bit nervous, but I will say using this app was a very easy experience. I like the fact that you can have it load a bubble on the side. So when you click a link, bubble on the side, you can keep browsing while that page is loading. That might be one of the reasons why I have an okay experience when I'm web browsing, because I literally sometimes open two or three links, have those bubbles sitting there, and then I just visit them minutes later.
Well, that's my normal desktop browsing habits. I'll right-click and open a new tab and then continue what I'm doing and then right-click and open a new tab. And I've never found a good way to do that on the mobile world. So I guess this is that solution.
Yes, to a degree, but it is a complete rewiring of the mindset. And that's what I think a lot of people have a hard time doing.
All right. What else you got for us?
Okay, give me just 1 second to just click paste one more time. Okay, this one I have to bring just because of the name. Okay, it's called Drink Beer, Na Neglect Family. It's by, and this is a game by SAIE Tech, ESAYITCH. I don't know what the hell that's supposed to be.
Sayich is how I would say it.
Marked T14, completely free, no in-app purchases. It is a completely pointless game. You basically jump around a screen, avoiding what is basically icons of your family and chasing down beer. And every time you drink a beer, the screen gets a little bit slower. Things became a little bit more harder to control. You get to the point to where you literally black out or throw up. This is a different style of game.
It's sort of early Donkey Kong, but with more drunkenness and debauchery.
Yeah. And it, to me, has the style, I'm going to say, of, you know, like Donkey Kong Burger Time-esque, with just slightly better graphics, and by slightly better, maybe clearer graphics is what I'll say.
Yeah, they've even reproduced the scan lines that the old CRT monitors used to get.
Right.
Just in that vein of being retro.
Yeah, it was just definitely weird. I'm going to bring one more developer-focused app, and I do not know why I've gotten two developer apps. I never have developer apps, but I do this time. This one's called JSON Genie Editor. If you're doing Android development, one of the most common ways to transmit blocks of data is by JSON. JSON is one of those things slowly taking over the world, it seems like, because it's key-based pairs. So it's basically a different way to do SQL without doing really SQL to a degree. And this is a way where you can basically capture streams of JSON and basically edit them and then push them forward. This is a very interesting thing to do on Android. And by the way, when I say interesting, wow. If you're doing this on Android, your computer is so busy, you don't have anything left. So now you're offloading this task to your Android device. That's the only thing I could see, because that's dedication. Because I would think this would have to be easier to do on a desktop. But then again, I'm not a great developer. And by a great developer, I'm not a developer.
I fell asleep while you were talking about that. I don't even have any comment.
It's kind of like when people talk about enterprise tech to me. I literally just zone out and I start to think, you know, remember that Weird Al song? that was pretty funny. And then I just forget everything else. That's all the apps I'm going to bring this go around.
It has between 500 and 1,000 installs. Dory, you find the latest and greatest stuff before anybody else has heard about it.
Well, and it has 5 reviews averaging 4 stars. So 3 of his friends gave it 5 stars. Another one of his friends said, well, I can't give it 5, I'll just give it 4. And then somebody else said, I'm going to give you a 1 star.
But no actual reviews, just stars. So no words about it. Nobody actually said anything. They just gave it stars. The 1-star people do that. I know, for example, my Geek Grant podcast in iTunes has 1 1-star review, and it's just a star. It's the same kind of guys who throw rocks at windows in old houses. It's just they like to do some damage and run away. I don't get it.
I don't want to understand those kind of people. It's like leaving a 1-penny tip at a restaurant and not telling the person why you're only leaving 1 penny. You know, I'm not a fan of that.
Who knew? There were trolls on the internet. Surprising.
I don't know what gives you that idea, Bark. Oh, wait. Yeah, that whole thing.
Okay, so that's any other apps, or are you going to call it quits right there?
I'm going to tap out.
All right. So that's the, let's see, 12 apps that you got tonight. So that's certainly a yeoman's job there. And I think we did 6 emails. So I think that's a good show. The one thing we haven't done yet is bash Apple in any way. So we need to get that in there before the show docket is complete.
Well, okay, the FBI Apple thing is nothing more than a complete dog and pony show on both sides. One party trying to say, look at us, we're important, we're trying to save you. The other party saying, look at us, we're so important, we're trying to save you.
See, I thought you'd go with the transmission ransomware on the Max this week.
That is the double-edged sword that I am so vexed upon, because I love the fact that other OSs are now starting to feel the pain of Windows OSs. But unfortunately, the more badware, unwanted wear you see on the Mac OS just means it's that much closer to being real on Linux as well. So
it's true. All right. That's a full slate. We've done everything. We've bashed Apple. We've bashed Microsoft. We did that early on. We've got that. We've got mails. So we're good. So,
what about Trump? We didn't bash Trump yet. Everyone else is. It seems like the hip thing to do.
Yeah. Don't get me started. The show's already an hour long. So any final words of wisdom, comments, greatness from the man who is the door-to-door geek?
I just want to thank everyone for their support. Thanks everyone who can go to stuff like iTunes and give us reviews. Thanks to everyone who can retweet or share when our show gets published. People like Kevin McLaughlin from Carolina. I can't even say it right. Carolina. You know what I mean? Guys like that really do honestly help me move forward with the show. And I do now get around 2 to 5 emails a month, basically just saying, you're doing a good job. Thank you. I cannot implore you people enough. That is my substance of life. When I get those kinds of things, it just makes me want to keep moving forward. When I get emails just saying, hey, give me something for free, they don't really do a lot for me.
I thought it was beer that was your sustenance of life.
No, remarkably enough, to be very honest, Mark, I go months on end without touching a beer at all. When I'm in the house and I take a sip of a beer, I'm like, it doesn't taste right. And then when I go out to a conference, I taste the beer. This is delicious. So it's like some kind of...
You're a situational alcoholic.
Yeah. I'm going to have to write that one down. That's a really good way to put it.
All right. Well, I will just simply say thank you for hanging out with us. As always, he won't say it, so I'll say it. Go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and throw money at him. Go to podnuts.com/Amazon. Make your purchases through there. It costs you nothing. It sends money to Door. These are things that you can do. He may be happy with just an email, but his creditors like to have actual money come into him. So you could help out with that. Patreon is standing up and literally saying, I support you with, here's a buck a show. Here's $10 a month, however you want to do that. But the Amazon thing, that is slacktivism at its best right there. You do nothing and it makes a difference in somebody's life. So just buy all your stuff through podnuts.com/Amazon and it will be a good thing. So I'm going to say thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll see you next week, because that's it for this week's episode of Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.